I find it easy to explain to an audience like this who lives in a military community, right? We have the armed forces of the United States of America for one reason and one reason only, not because war is fun, it's brutal. We have it because sin exists in the world. And it's necessary when sin exists in this world for us to protect and defend our freedoms and the American way of life. And we only have a military because sin is real. And so we're reminded that even as believers, we live in a place where we still have a sin nature, right? We're not sinners just because of the things we do. We're sinners because of our nature. And that, we're reminded of that. And it's a brutal truth here this morning. So as we step into this text, hopefully, that, I want us to begin thinking about perhaps one thesis statement, one idea about this conflict that goes on within us. Because it's not only the same in national security that we have to defend against what? Sin in the world. That's really the bottom line. It's the same in the Christian faith. We have a conflict that needs to be defended against at all times. And so winning this war within us means that we recognize this inner conflict and we cry out to God for deliverance. I need thee. Lord, I need thee. Every hour, I need thee. So I want to approach this text in a few ways. What I just read you, and it really has been debated, you might go home and get a commentary and be like, man, Chapman Weaver was completely wrong. But you can look at this text in a few ways, and it has stumped people, I believe, because it is so stunningly personal about thoughts that go on in our minds that we probably don't share with people, but Paul lays it out here, and he lays it out here, this is very important, in the context of Christian maturity. He's already dealt with the fact that we're justified in Christ, right? So this is an important text for us to grow in Christ, to continue to understand as we walk forward in maturity. And I believe that it's a normal Christian being painfully honest. A normal Christian being painfully honest. That's the straightforward way to read this text. He is struggling with sin in his members, but a mind that has been renewed through a born-again experience, a regenerate mind transformed by God, but he's still aware of his own sin nature. Now, you can also interpret this as a Jew who is under the law and has not yet been born again. There are commentators who do so. You could also interpret this as a carnal Christian or a baby Christian, someone who has accepted Christ but never really tried to move into sanctification and grow to maturity. And there's a number of ways to look at it. But I think the easiest way, and I'll present you a few reasons why I believe that, and I think it's important as you look at the text to walk through that. Seven times just in the short passage that I gave you, he uses the personal pronoun I. Paul is unveiling something that's happening inside his head, inside of his mind. It's an extremely personal truth, right, that he's unveiling. Sometimes we read the Bible and we also forget that these epistles were personal letters, right? Written for his own personal reasons. This is written with, you know, this is Paul's own inner thoughts and struggles. So never forget that a real person was, you know, this is the inspired word of God, right? But it all has a personal nature, you know, that Paul's in there. And seven times he uses the pronoun I. The passage clearly indicates something that Paul is experiencing. What is this inner conflict? He says it in verse 25 so succinctly. He says, I myself serve the law of God with my mind, but with my flesh I serve the law of sin. Romans 12:1 says, be ye not conformed to this world, but be transformed. How? By the renewal of your mind. God, through the power of the Holy Spirit, has a regenerate power with the believer. Believers want and love the law of God. Only believers love the law of God, because I'll tell you one thing, the unbelieving world doesn't care what God thinks about their actions, right? And there are even people who believe that there's value in the law, but they don't love it because they can't keep it and it will eventually crush them. So I say that this is a believer being incredibly personal In his mind, he loves and wants to serve the law of God. But with my flesh, he's aware, he's unveiling the truth that he wants to serve the law of sin. That's the conflict. It's awkward, isn't it? It's not easy to talk about. It's not easy to stand here and say, hi, I'm Doug Weaver. I'm a sinner saved by grace. But that's probably a very good description of who I am this morning to you in context of this. The final thing he says, he cries out in passion. You know, this is where we really need to put some thought into this. Are we really passionate about sin? We're aware of it, but do we care about it? Paul was a man who was in uniquely wired as a Pharisee and a Jew to love the law. He loved the law, and he knew it. He knew about obeying it. It was extremely important to him, and it created within him this tension where he finally got to the point where he knew he wasn't able to keep it on his own through his own ability, and he cries out to God, oh, what a wretched man am I. So the first truth I want us to bring out here is that the law, it reveals sin, doesn't it? Paul was, like I said, he was uniquely wired. He knew the law better than any of us. He was brought up a Pharisee of Pharisees, right? You can read in the New Testament what his pedigree was. He knew the law. And the law reveals and also activates sin in our life. But the closer you get to the light, the more imperfections you see. We just got back from vacation, and my wife loved in our hotel room this really cool makeup mirror that, like, had a light on it and, like, reflected your face much bigger. And she'd love to have one of those at home, but it terrified me. I'll tell you, it terrified me. Because at my age, when I look at my skin up close, it's not pretty. It is not pretty at all. But this is the same as we grow in Christian maturity, as we go closer to God, we're more aware of our sinfulness, not only in deeds, but in thoughts and things that we could have said or done, right? And Paul was living in a place where he was very aware of his own shortcomings. But the closer you get to the light in Christian maturity, the more it's going to drop you down to your knees. That's really the truth. If you're passionate about growing in your faith, which is part of our charter here as Chapel Next, it says our culture is to make disciples who grow in mission. Oh, and grow and mature in Christ. That's our mission. That's our stated mission. Make disciples who grow and mature in Christ. So if so, we have to be willing to draw close to the light. Take the law of God seriously, right? The second thing it says is spiritual maturity begins with a greater awareness of your own sin. And moment by moment, we become more and more dependent on Christ, right? I need thee. I need thee every hour. I need thee. The problem is that far too many believers are writing off sin as simply being human. I'm okay, you're okay. We all have our faults. Let's just get on with it. If we get to the point where we're doing that, we're not progressing in our faith. We're probably regressing in our faith, right? We're probably regressing in our faith. To win this war, we have to be willing to recognize this conflict that goes on within us and call sin what it is. You know, it is there. Even when we've had our very best days, tomorrow sin can be crouching at our door. What? Because we still live in this body that has a sin nature that goes all the way back to the garden. The second truth I'd like you to know is, you know, if you're going to be able to say, yeah, I'm declaring war on sin. I'm really declaring war on sin. You might ask, and I think it's a good question, a relevant question, what would victory look like? We do that in our own MDMP process, right? In the military. You know, if we carried out this mission, if we execute this mission, what will it look like when we're finished? And we don't always know. There's a lot of art and science in war, right? And some of the what it looks like when we're done is really a little bit of art. But winning the war, here's what it looks like. Consistent obedience in this life and perfection in the next. It's important that you're not striving for perfection, right? consistent obedience. Paul is moving into this thing we call sanctification, right? God making us holy. God, Him creating us, recreating us in the image of His Son moment by moment. In Corinthians, Paul says he does it glory by glory, moment by moment. He's changing us, conforming us. It would be very wise for us to all consider ourselves under construction. We're all under construction. We are believers in Christ who are under construction, moving toward a consistent obedience that brings peace in our lives, right? That brings peace in our lives. If we're not consistently obedient, we'll consistently be rocked. So Paul is not describing a lack of perfection here. He's actually talking about a lack of obedience. And I think that's important to note. Perfection will probably crush you. I saw a quote this morning on Facebook, Chaplain Tim Cross, our chaplain ex-pastor down at Fort Jackson, he posted this, and I thought, thank you, God, because this kind of fits into my message. So I pulled this out, I put it in. Lisa did that this morning. God was just kind of bombarding us with a bunch of different things we wanted to work in here today. But it says, Satan will try to convince you that obedience carries too high a price, but never will he tell you the cost of not obeying God. If you lack consistent peace in your life, right, then it's probably due to our own disobedience. Not always. Sometimes we are the benefactors of other people's actions upon us that make us not peaceful. But there is a very high cost. You know, we always think, gosh, I really want to do that, and that would be great. You know, that would be something I'm missing out on. All the way back to the Garden of Eden, right? That was his exact strategy, right? Come on, you can eat this apple. Look what you're missing out on. He's holding out on you. But the truth is that the cost of not obeying is always much higher than obeying. And I think that's what he's asking us to do as we grow and mature in Christ and continue to constantly confess our sins. When I became a new believer, I was actually, does anybody know the Navigator? Do we have any Navigators in here? So then I was discipled by a Navigator, and one of their, 1 John 1:9 is what they call their Christian bar of soap. None of us would think about going through life and not physically bathing, you know, at least every day or whenever we get a chance, we probably do. But the Christian bar of soap, 1 John, if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, right? And so that's what Paul is asking us to do, is to constantly take our sins seriously, right? And to cry out to God for deliverance daily. Not just one time as a believer. Far too many believers have walked the aisle, accepted Christ, kind of a fire insurance type of faith, and then they turn around and that's the last time they think about that. And that's what Paul is really moving us away from today and making us think seriously about growing in maturity in Christ. So winning does not mean perfection. I think any of us can think, boy, I would really like to put on that persona that Chapman Weaver never makes mistakes, or that he's not living a sinful life, or he's not. That's not true, you know. All you have to that I have a benefactor here to bring witness to that. All of my imperfections that I have every day. I probably forgot to make my bed and left dirty clothes on the floor when I left this morning. But the truth is, we are never going to reach perfection, and that's important to note. Why? Because that in itself could crush us and help us gain a false understanding of what grace really is, right? We have to understand that perfection, there is a time, right? After the resurrection, right? In the next life, when there will be, what, no more war, no more tears, no more sin, and we will be living in a perfected state for eternity, right? But until then, we live in a world where sin is real. So there's always this tension, and it's a natural reaction. It was so bad in this text when Paul is writing it. I hope you can go back and reread that text again. But he says, oh, what a wretched man am I. A confession right there on the page from the Apostle Paul. In that moment, he's bearing his soul to you, confessing to you. You know, this idea that we don't take sin lightly should make us very thirsty for God, right? We don't take it. We should be very thirsty for God. I looked up this quote this morning from the pastor John Piper, and I wanted to read it to you because I think it's just amazing. Are you thirsty for the gospel truth? If I share the gospel that the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins can be yours today, is yours today, and you love that message, then you are thirsty. Are you consistently thirsty for the gospel truth? That's the question I have for you today. Why? Because God is delighted not by the resourcefulness of bucket brigades, but by the bending down of broken sinners to drink at the fountain of grace. Moment by moment, new unbelievers, mature believers, we should love the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you're not here today and you do not know Christ as your Savior, today can be that moment. That confessing and believing that you are a sinner and that Christ died for your sins, right? And rose again on the third day. You, too, can share in this changed, regenerate heart that Paul has. Broken sinners bending down to drink at the fountain of grace. Are you thirsty? Do you love to hear the gospel preached? It's telling. So the third truth is victory comes when we are distressed of our own sin. And that's what Paul did. He cried out to God. He fell on his knees and he asked for forgiveness, right? Chapter 8, one of the things you have to be careful with in this text is it's a little bit depressing, isn't it? It kind of seems like he's on this merry-go-round of sin and he can't really get out of it. And he's stuck there. Oh, what a wretched man am I. There is a little glimmer of hopes because he does say that the Lord Jesus Christ could deliver him from that. But he doesn't talk about really how it's going to work. And I just want to remind you that chapter 8 is coming. I don't know who's up next week. I have to get the schedule. Chapter 8 is coming. And there's a very important thing that since we talk about expository preaching, this might kind of blow your mind. You might have never thought about it. But the chapters and the breaks in the text are not inspired. They were there for you just to begin to comb through and read. They were placed there over the years by the commentators. So it is one continuous thought that Paul moves directly into this. What does he say? There is therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in the Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. What Paul is saying here is you cannot please God on your own ability when you recognize that sin. You confess it, and the Holy Spirit brings you forth into an obedient lifestyle. The Holy Spirit empowers you in sanctification. This is the truth of, I can't leave you hanging in the dismal understanding of, I'm a sinner, I must fall on my knees. I couldn't do that to you this morning. So I wanted to give you a little sneak peek of what's coming and how we do live this life. We live a Spirit-filled life. We are consistently obedient because we love the law, and the Holy Spirit helps us to overcome our own sinful desires on a daily basis, minute by minute by minute. That's how it happens. That's the engine. That's the way it's really going to work when Paul unravels it all. So I have a book in my library that was written by Jerry Bridges, and it has a concept in it that I think relates to this passage well. And I would ask you, I asked you already if you love to hear the gospel preached, right? But he actually says that we should preach the gospel to ourselves every day. Preach the gospel to yourself daily. It would be healthy. Why? Because we should confess our sins daily, and we should be loving the gospel. We should love the Lord Jesus Christ for his death, burial, and resurrection as a substitution for our sin. He died on that cross, right? So that we could be set free. Jerry says, preach the gospel to yourself. It means that you continually face up to your own sinfulness in chapter 3. This is how he describes it. These are his words. And then flee to Jesus through faith in his shed blood and his righteous life. It means that you appropriate again by faith the fact that Jesus satisfied the law of God. The very law that Paul was wrestling with, Christ has satisfied for you. That is grace. So I have a few concluding thoughts. I hope I've encouraged you today to declare war, to kind of think about your own life. A lot of times we just get complacent. I've been a believer for 23 years. I've been a believer for 30 years. I'm standing where I am, and I'm pretty much sitting where I am, but I've never really thought about growing, right? Getting in a Bible study, encouraging one another. I certainly like one thing we've done in the Protestant faith is we've kind of thrown out the baby with the bathwater, right? We don't have confession like the Roman Catholics do. And so it's something that we feel awkward doing, and we don't always do. But if you have a prayer partner, someone that you can share appropriate level of things with, declare war on your sin and confess your sin. It's good for you. The second thing I'd ask us to do is remember that victory comes from not from our own ability to obey, but through Jesus Christ and Spirit-filled living. You can't wait to get to chapter 8 next week, right? I can't wait to get there. I can't wait. And I say, preach the gospel to yourself daily, right? Let's go to the Lord in prayer.